Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning, folks. We are broadcasting live from the grand opening of Primary Care Plus in Hammond. It's on Veterans, 42078 Veterans, right across the street from North Oak Hospital. If you live or work in Tangipahoa, you're going to want to come out here. I'd love to meet you. And, you know, we have all of the folks here from Primary Care Plus. Got to meet them all this morning. Just incredible people. Very excited about what they do here. Very excited about this grand opening today. None more than my guest starting out right away, Dr. Brett Wallace. This has to be one heck of an interview, Doc, because we got to make Tommy Tucker jealous, okay?
Absolutely. We're going to ramp it up. good morning, Nolan.
But I see a lot of smiling faces this morning. I guess a lot of energy, a lot of excitement around the opening of this Primary Care Plus outlet here. There are, I believe, 10 now in the region.
Yeah, amazingly, we actually are up to 10. So Hammond is our number 10 now, and I think we're going to keep on going. We're very excited to have the opportunity, though, to bring our, different type of healthcare to Tangipahoa.
So what sets Primary Care Plus apart from others?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that that I find different, I've worked in a lot of different practice settings and everything, and what we try to do different here is we try to actually listen to our patients. We hear what they're saying. We know they've got a lot of things going on that are either tangential to their healthcare, or they may be actually social issues that are going on. And so we try to really look at the whole person, develop a full plan of care to really try to drive a healthier life for that individual.
And I guess it's a recognition, of how difficult it is for patients to kind of manage and weave through this healthcare, sometimes described as a morass, where you're not necessarily knowing where you're going day in and day out.
Yeah, navigating the health system just keeps getting more and more difficult. And, and one of the things anybody who's listening who's got a family member that has health problems, or if they have health problems themselves and you've been faced with having to, make difficult decisions and decide where to get care and how to get care, it can be very difficult to do that. And you need somebody with you who really understands how that health system works and can help you navigate through it.
In talking to a number of the folks this morning, I got the sense that a number of them really feel like they are advocates.
Yeah.
And I love that attitude.
Yeah, I think very much so. I think really it's every level of the organization, from the highest levels all the way down to the person that's checking you in. We know who our patients are. We know what their needs are. We know their families. And if we don't, we try to find out what that is so that we can really identify how we can help you. So it's really a very all-inclusive type of model.
So we're talking things like with the clinic providing on-call phone support 24/7. That's huge. Same and next day appointments. Doc, that's unheard of.
That's really tremendous. And actually, that is one of the most important things that we try to do. If you've ever had a problem and tried to call your primary care physician, usually you're told you have to go to urgent care. And so one of the things that we live by is that, we want to be convenient and available when the patient needs us. So we always leave slots available so that somebody can come in same day, and certainly next day appointments are always available.
And it doesn't matter whether or not you have a short-term medical concern or long-term. because y'all look forward to managing both.
Yeah, we see all types of patients. You know, we have a large number, and here in Louisiana in particular, you know, chronic medical problems are an issue. And so we're very adept at handling those really highly complex chronic problems. But we don't mind seeing some of the easy stuff, too. In fact, actually, for the physicians, it's kind of nice to have a balance. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you want to see somebody with a sinusitis that can be easily treated, you know, but then you've got the patient that's got diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart failure.
One of the things we talk about navigating is one care setting to another. You know, you have control of this one, not necessarily as much control of the next stop, right? But it's that coordination that's really key.
Yeah, absolutely. And we call that transitional care. And we handle it a little differently. So we don't need to own and operate every level of care. But what we do is we actually establish relationships with all the local facilities around our clinics, with the hospitalist that may be admitting you to the hospital. We create those communication pathways. And then anytime you do need care outside of our system, we try to help you coordinate it. And when you're coming back into our system, we know everything that happened because we've been talking with the other healthcare providers all along.
Do you get the sense sometimes, I mean, this is a new clinic, new area, right here in Hammond. Oftentimes, having served on the board of Eshoff Hospital for over 20 years, sometimes I don't think the public really recognizes the importance of when an organization like this puts their roots down and offers a facility like this. I toured it this morning. It's phenomenal. In their area. When you think about shortage of doctors, nurses, you know, primary care specialists, when you have a new facility like this open, I would just characterize it, I don't mean to overstate it, it's huge.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is a big deal, and we're super glad to, you know, to join the neighborhood, per se, and really help out, because you can't have too much access to healthcare in an area.
And we is there such a
really that is not a problem we have here. And so, you know, so really I think it's an opportunity to come into an area. We don't want huge clinics that try to capture you know, everybody. We don't need that. We are a niche clinic system for people that really want to spend more time with their doctors, who want to really get healthier. You know, and have that opportunity to really have those conversations that can be difficult. And a lot of times in healthcare, you don't have any time. You have 5 or 10 minutes max with a doctor, you know, and we really try to push 30 minutes to an hour if you need it.
Yeah. And that's important, because if you're more likely to reach successes when you have a patient that takes their healthcare seriously. They're not going through the motion. Reminds me of that song, Spinning Wheels, you know, you're just spinning in, spinning out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the part about medicine that's interesting, the whole physical exam portion of a visit is relatively small. It's really history. It's connecting, it's communicating, and it's really kind of working with a patient to develop a plan of care. I can tell you what you need to do, but if you don't buy it, you're not going to do it. And so I've got to spend more time with you, let you trust me so that you'll actually do what is going to really ultimately make you healthier.
So we have an incredible staff here. I got to meet Cherie Miller earlier. She is the nurse practitioner. That discipline is relatively new to the state of Louisiana, but taken off in a big, big way, and is really important to places like this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Cherie is fantastic. You're going to love talking with her later this morning. And she's been in this area for a very long time. She's worked at a couple of different locations and had her own practice here in Hammond. Nurse practitioners are really wonderful and critical to our ability to deliver care. You know, we're not turning out doctors like we used to. And Louisiana in particular is having trouble keeping doctors in the state. Mm-hmm. And so nurse practitioners have been wonderful to work closely with the physicians that collaborate with them to really open up that access to care. And Cherie is really a wonderful, wonderful practitioner.
She brings with her over 17 years of healthcare experience, and she's intimately involved in this community and has been for a while.
Yeah, very much so. And she'll tell you, although she doesn't toot her own horn that much, but she's very involved in the community. She actually loves educating. She's actually a doctor of nurse practitioning,
mm-hmm.
And teaches actually as well over at Southeastern, and so she really is focused on, you know, teaching people about healthcare, teaching people about their health.
You know, and that's good to collaboration. I actually interviewed Dr. Wayne, President Wainwright, at the new head of Southeastern yesterday. Great guy, great things, and they're really doing a lot of great things in healthcare too. So that collaboration is important.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can't be stuck in the past and the way we used to do things. You've got to kind of update, just like any industry, and recognize, you know, the needs of people are the main thing that you've got to address. And figuring out what tools you need to do that is really critical as well.
Dr. Ellers, Philip Ellers, not actually physically here today. He's actually in a different location visiting patients, from what I understand.
He is. Yeah, Dr. Ellers is great. He's going to be coming over here a couple of times a week. He also works over at our O'Neill Clinic, which we just relocated about a year ago over in Baton Rouge. And Dr. Ellers now, probably 15 years experience as a family practitioner. Really wonderful guy, and he is actually one of my medical directors for Primary Care Plus, so he's on the leadership team as well.
Absolutely. How many people do you actually still see that come to you and they don't have a doctor?
Yeah.
I mean, I hear this all the time, and I look at folks and I said, guys, do you know how important it is to have someone?
Right.
You just can't enter the healthcare system on a whim.
Yeah, you'd be you may not be surprised, but what is interesting is the way people access care is very on demand now. And so, you know, you see this all around town with urgent cares popping up all over the place. When people need care, they access that care at that single point in time. And that can be okay for certain situations,
yeah.
But especially people that have ongoing or chronic medical problems, they really do need a physician. They need somebody who really knows them, who can guide them, who can actually create that plan of care for them.
Especially when you're requiring prescriptions, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have sometimes face limited formularies, trying to figure out how to work through that, best align with whoever your insurance carrier may or may not be. Cost considerations. These
right.
are things all that happen right here at Primary Care Plus.
Yeah, you know, anybody who's on maintenance medications know, you know, one of the worst things that a provider can do for their patient is write a prescription that's too expensive for them to get.
Right.
You know, because then they're just not going to do it.
And there's a long list of those.
There are a ton, I know. And so, yeah, we spend a lot of time and we have a lot of technology that we really are guiding people towards cost-effective care as
mm-hmm.
well. Because, again, if it costs too much and you've got to make a decision about food versus your medicine, you're probably going to pick food,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So food or your family.
No, and it's a sad reality, but it's a reality that we see each and every day. And I really, you know, and it doesn't really matter much what socioeconomic group you're in.
No.
These are extraordinary costs.
Yeah, no, they can be very high. And some people can afford it, but should you? You know, should you be paying...
Right.
you know, high premiums for some of the care that you're getting. And really one of the things that we try to do, we do this with a lot of data. It's something that makes us unique because we talk a lot with our providers. We're very transparent in kind of where the money goes and what the cost of care actually is, because at the end of the day, you've got to create a plan of care that is affordable. It's just like you wouldn't go buy a house that had a $10,000 payment if you couldn't afford $10,000.
Right.
You know, if you're treating your diabetes and hypertension, you've got to have a reasonable monthly payment to make it through that health situation.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about the approach here at Primary Care Plus, is it's holistic and they're looking at the whole situation, not just a piece or a part.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think when you talk with Dana later today, She runs all of our care coordination and transitional care programs. She is really key in some of our social determinants of health programs, which are really trying to identify people that have housing needs and food insecurity, other things going on in the home, that if we don't address those, there's no way we're going to get your health problems under control.
So one of the ways, folks, to get in here, to get an appointment, is you go to www.primarycareplus.com. And I'm going to brag on y'all a little bit because I am not a tech person. Right? I was born in 1958. Wrong age group. I'm a boomer. Right? I hadn't caught on to everything. Even I can do it. So, I mean, it was easy peasy. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, we try to really simplify. You know, like a lot of practices, we've got a portal available for our patients that are already established. But if you want to come see us, it's super easy. You go to our website and you click book now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the great thing is, since we've got same day and next day appointments, you'll get a call and they may say, can you come in at 3?
Yeah. What I love is the descriptors are all straightforward. You know, it's not like, what does it mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know exactly what it means, right? Or you could call 1-800-978-9371. Because I'm not that tech genius, I asked her, is there a phone number that we can call?
There actually is. And we have someone sitting at the front desk
absolutely.
Who's going to answer that call.
1-800-978-9371. Final thoughts, Dr. Wallace?
No, we're just excited to have you here. We're excited for everybody to come by and see this new location. I think we're going to head outside and cut a ribbon.
Doc, I don't know about you, but I think we hit it out of the park, Tommy Tucker.
We'll talk with him soon, I know.
Thank you so much for joining us.
All right,
we had a great time.
Thanks, Noel.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. We're here at Primary Care Plus in Hammond at 42078 Veterans. Come on out. Got a lot of refreshments and food and things to eat. And they're getting ready to cut a ribbon at the present time. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. Dr. Joe Cantor, the state health officer for the state of Louisiana, joins us usually on Thursdays, but he accommodated us because we're going to be live from the aquarium tomorrow for the grand opening. Doc, thank you so much for the accommodation.
Hey, thank you, Noel. It's my pleasure. And I had the chance to go there to the aquarium this past weekend on Sunday with our kids, and it's magnificent. So you guys are going to have a great time there tomorrow. It's really nice.
Yeah, look forward to it. I've heard that they've done an incredible job. We would expect nothing less from the Audubon Institute because they always do deliver the product for sure. Talking about delivering products, Doc, I understand that there's a penicillin shortage. Y'all are dealing with a syphilis outbreak. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is particularly troubling because our rates of syphilis, in particular congenital syphilis, when a pregnant woman inadvertently gives syphilis to a newborn child, are extremely high. We're third in the nation for congenital syphilis. And in today's day and age, this should really be a never event, because testing is very easily, and in normal days, treatment's very easy too. There's one manufacturer of the type of penicillin used for this. It's Pfizer. It's called Bicillin. It's a very old medication. And because it's old and because, you know, there's not a big market for it, usually you don't have a whole bunch of generic manufacturers trying to manufacture it because there's not a big profit margin. And so this one sole manufacturer, when they have a shortage, the whole country has a shortage. That's what we're dealing with now. So we're having to prioritize this type of penicillin for cases of congenital syphilis, which means people that have other types of syphilis, primary or secondary syphilis, might be offered a second-line treatment until more of this medication comes in. We're trying to move medication across the state to patch holes as they come up. But on a larger scale, it really speaks to this country's vulnerability with the pharmaceutical supply chain. And when you have a medicine like this that is an essential medicine, incredibly important medicine, but doesn't have a big profit margin because it's old, then you just have really lack of insurance and a very narrow window when that manufacturer gets short, and it makes a lot of people scramble, as we're trying to do now.
How do we overcome this problem? I mean, because obviously it's risen to a public health issue now, right?
No question. And it has in the past with some other antibiotics before, and we've chatted a little bit about it. You know, I think there are places in healthcare where the private market does well all by itself, but there are places where the government probably needs to step in and provide some assurances or a backstop. I think this is one. I mean, this is an example in this particular case of the private pharmaceutical industry, you know, failing in this one regard, not to be able to provide, again, a very old, time-tested medicine. There really hasn't been much done in this area. You know, the FDA, we've stayed very close to them. They will say that their prime role is in regulating, ensuring that the products are safe. And I think they do a good job of that. But they don't get too in the weeds on how much is manufactured, where it's sent. That's really left to the private companies. But it essentially is a national security issue if there's needed medicine like this that we're having trouble getting. So I think there's room for a federal agency to step into space, maybe be backstop a generic pharmaceutical manufacturer, invest some money to help assure that when these companies get short, that the rest of the country's not left in the lurch. You know, we do that on some things with the Strategic National Stockpile, but that's a very limited set of items we do that for right now.
You know, we hear this arguments about the price differential between pharmaceuticals here in Canada and in Europe. We always, you know, fall back on R&D budgets, right? And that we bear the cost of financing R&D. It would seem to me that these types of situations in dealing with these pharmaceutical companies, that this would be a byproduct of, you know, asking this country to finance R&D, that we, if any country in the world should not have a shortage for anything, it ought to be us.
Absolutely agree. And, you know, we pay a premium for R&D twice. We pay it in inflated drug prices, and then we pay it further upstream because a lot of the R&D gets funded by the NIH anyway to begin with. And the NIH or the federal government doesn't usually recoup profits off of that investment. So we're paying for it twice. I completely agree. If we're going to provide that funding, that which benefits the world, there's no question about that. It comes out of our premiums. Then there needs to be a better system. The pharmaceutical companies probably need to pay into that themselves. But you know, what's so frustrating about this is that, you know, in this case of trying to treat congenital syphilis cases right now, we're not limited by science. We're not limited by know-how. We're, you know, we have a technology. It's old technology. We're simply limited by, you know, this pharmaceutical system that exists and the shortcomings that come from it. And that's a very frustrating place to be when people's health are at the other end of it.
Yeah, and I was reading an article just yesterday about how the FDA is going to open up the supply chain for certain cancer treatment drugs from China for this very reason. We're not producing it here, and we don't have it.
Yeah, and that's a rather new step for the FDA. You know, just because a drug is manufactured in another country doesn't mean it's inherently unsafe. Doesn't mean that it needs to be investigated and have assurances. But, you know, agencies like the FDA, I think, are well-equipped to do that. They've been hesitant to. They've certainly been lobbied against doing that by American pharmaceuticals. But if we can get drugs from another country and assure their safety, there's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't be doing that.
And then, interestingly, you know, this issue comes up, and you and I have talked about this, and we're just it was a topic I wanted to bring up, but it deals along the same lines here, where now we have Merck is suing the U.S. government over this Medicare negotiation program, and it seems like we're involved in a huge, I guess that's probably an understatement, tug of war now, and it looks like everybody's drawing a line in the sand.
Yeah, it would be comical what Merck's doing if it wasn't so absurd. You know, for decades, Medicare has been forbidden to really negotiate drug prices. They basically had to pay, you know, more or less what was asked, and that led to a big inflation in drug prices. So now that the law and policy is just inching the other way, just allowing really the beginnings of negotiations, still quite disempowered from the federal perspective on this, but just you know, inching towards the other way, you know, these companies are fighting back and they're filing a bunch of lawsuits, and this is the first big example of that. This is going to continue to play out in the courts. It'll continue to play out in Congress as these companies are proficient lobbyists. But I think, you know, we need to recognize these companies provide an incredible product. I mean, they really provide wonderful products, but that doesn't mean that they can rely on extortionist pricing systems. And as the purchaser of the size that the federal government is, they've got to flex that and get a better deal for the public.
Yeah, it's funny how they flip the script. They're saying that the government's now extorting them.
It's like, right.
Okay, if it worked for the government, I guess it'll work for us, right? When I read the article, I was like, they must have this backwards.
Yeah, they've got big lobby teams and big legal teams, and those people don't sit around idle. So, you know, they're doing, I think, what any company would do. But again, with the federal government being the purchaser of the magnitude it is, they have a lot of muscle there, and they have to use it to get a better deal for all of us.
Yeah, you know, I've often, and you and I have discussed this, wondered why we would not negotiate Medicare, Medicaid. I think it's more than half they purchase more than half of the pharmaceuticals sold in this country. Why wouldn't you negotiate? I mean, you know, doesn't make any sense. But I mean, I guess when you're a company and you're used to this guaranteed rate of return, almost really, you know, there's not many businesses that have a guaranteed rate of return, right? But obviously, they grew very accustomed to having that guaranteed rate of return.
That's right, and some of this was negotiated during Medicare D, you know, the pharmaceutical deal years back. But you know, it's I don't think the public is getting a very good deal on this. A couple of states actually are looking in to buttressing state-run or at least state-sponsored generic pharmaceutical manufacturing operations just for their state, just for this reason, to have cheaper medications and to have a supply for certain shortages. It's a shame to have states do that on their own. You know, the federal government will be much more empowered to do that at their size, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to get to a break. We are visiting with Dr. Joe Cantor, the state health officer for the state of Louisiana. Folks, we are broadcasting live at the grand opening of the Primary Care Plus in Hammond. come out and say hi. We're on Veterans Avenue right across from North Oak Hospital at 42078 Veterans. Got more great guests coming up on WWL. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Joe Cantor.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Dr. Joe Cantor, the state health officer for Louisiana. Doc, the Trust for America's Health Organization, or they going to release a report on June the 14th discussing the impact of chronic underfunding of America's public health system, trends, risks, and recommendations. And what they're basically saying is that if we continue to underfund public health, we will not be prepared for future emergencies. They're asking for at least $11.5 billion to be appropriated in fiscal year 2024. Current funding for CDC is $9.2 billion, so about a $2.3 billion shortfall. They go on to say that COVID-19, obviously, and you and I have talked about this many times, illuminated weaknesses in the nation's public health infrastructure. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's an important report. It's one that Trust for America's Health keeps up with regularly. They do a lot of rankings and they keep a very close eye on funding. The head of that organization, Nadine Garcia, is really apt at that. And they're highlighting a really important element here. And you know, I'll tell you, public health was one of the things that was on the chopping block during these recent negotiations around the debt ceiling. And one of the compromises that that the Biden team in Congress reached was they're going to claw back some money that had been appropriated from the feds to public health agencies in the states that hadn't actually been spent yet. Maybe it was planning to be spent next year or the year afterwards. that's going to take a hit on the states because that's money that had been already been planned and was in the process of being filtered down. So public health expenditures are something that always get cut. You know, it seems like that and education is always what gets cut, but it's so much more expensive to do this work on the back end. And I'll give you one quick example of that. Because there was money available to us after Katrina, we invested heavily in parts of our public health communication systems, particularly how we have visibility on hospitals and how many patients are in hospital beds and where there is capacity. That's something we built with money available to us in the few years after Katrina. We didn't know there was going to be a pandemic, but when COVID came, we had that system built and we were able to benefit from it. Through the course of the pandemic, every state except for us built a system like that because they needed it, but often at much higher cost because they were doing it under a very quick deadline. So these type of investments really pay dividends. They're always cheaper to make on the front end. And I think cutting this type of funding is just, I mean, from a long-term perspective, is not a wise move, even if it saves a couple of dollars in the short term.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a new song, right? I mean,
yeah, it's not a new song.
Kind of, when do we catch up to the beat? I mean, I don't get it.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, for a state like Louisiana, about 90% or so of what we spend on public health is coming from the feds anyway, through grant programs. Very little of it is coming from state general funds. And that's similar to a lot of high poverty states, you know, across the American South. They're really reliant on federal funds to provide this type of work. We have a disjointed public health system in the country, some federal jurisdictions, some states, some local. But the feds are a prime funder on that, and we've got to keep a close watch. I'm glad Trust for America's Health is following this. It's something that's not very sexy, and so it doesn't get a lot of headlines until something goes wrong and people realize that they don't have the protections that they thought they had. And you never want to be in that situation.
This is a scary stat. 45% of the U.S. population has at least one chronic disease, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, or some other chronic disease.
Yeah.
That doesn't highlight the necessity for this. I don't know what does.
Right. And it's higher in Louisiana. We had a lot of people with chronic conditions, a lot of people taking medication for them, a lot of risk here. And you always are better served by being preventative on the front end and having to deal with it, you know, in acute care setting on the back end.
Let's pivot real quick. We got just a couple of minutes left, Doc. Looks like President Biden's going to pick physician Mandy Cohen to lead the CDC. She comes from North Carolina. Was the health secretary there. Your thoughts?
I think it's a good pick. You know, she's got a heck of a job ahead of her. The CDC is going to have some tight maneuvering to do, and if this current administration is given a second term, she's going to have to go up against confirmation. Now, I think she's a good choice. The reason I say that is
I don't think it requires confirmation.
It was negotiated in, but it won't start.
Oh, it was
2024. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If she lasts a couple of years, she'll have to go through confirmation, or the next choice will.
Right.
They haven't up until now. You're right. The reason I think she's a good choice is she has a good track. So she was health secretary in Carolina from, like, I think 2017 to maybe 2021, just in the middle of COVID. And that's a very purple state. And she had a really good track record of working with both Republicans and Democrats and getting things done there. She was generally well-liked, respected, and managed those political differences very well. I think that's going to be a key skill that the next CDC director needs they're in the crosshairs of Congress right now. They're going to have to advocate for their agency and maneuver. So I think she's well-equipped. I'm excited. I think she'll do good. I hope so, at least.
Huge agency. 13,000 people work for CDC. It's big.
Yeah.
Doc, as always, we certainly appreciate your time. We know that you're busy. Thank you so much for joining us today, and have a great week.
Thank you, Noel. You too, and enjoy the aquarium tomorrow.
All righty, sir. We certainly will. We'll be out there tomorrow on location. We are broadcasting live from the grand opening of the Primary Care Plus in Hammond at 42078 Veterans, right across from North Oaks Hospital, folks. You want to come out and see us, say hello. I've had a couple of listeners come up and say hello already. Got some donuts, got some food, got some drink. Have a great time out here. And you can book your next physician appointment while you're here. So come out and see us. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we are broadcasting live at the grand opening of Primary Care Plus in Hammond on Veterans, directly across from North Oak Hospital. When we come back after the top of the news break, we're going to be visiting with the parish president of Tangipahoa Parish, Robbie Miller. We'll be right back with him, and we've got some additional guests in the 12 o'clock hour as well. So stay with us. We've got some great things coming your way. Come on and visit us at the grand opening of Primary Care Plus in Hammond. We are right across from North Oak Hospital. They got some food. They got some drink. They got a lot of things. You can meet a lot of folks, and you can schedule that next doctor's appointment right here, right now, and get in before the end of the week. That's a plus. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.